with that prayer of faith the Heavenly Father would open his word. I'll read the God's word from the 15th chapter of Luke, and the words are heard in Jesus' name. And Jesus continued, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, this text which we have read was quite long, but it was a very speaking text. Probably one of the more significant texts in the Bible, which happened from the love of the Heavenly Father. At the same time, it shows the situation of man's heart and the power of sin. But especially, it proclaims the greatness of the grace of Christ and love. This parable's background is a situation where the Pharisees and the scribes blame Jesus, for saying, "This he accepts and eats with the sinners." They didn't understand this, that just for this reason, the disciple that Jesus had come to this world. In another portion of the Bible, Jesus says, "That who is lost, the Son of Man has come to find and to redeem, to save." These ridicules, Jesus answered with three parables: the lost sheep, the lost silver money, and then this one, the parable of the prodigal son. And from this, celebration of joy was made because the lost was found. This text tells us how this younger son asked from his father his own portion of inheritance. He wanted to go from the father's home. When we think temporally about this situation, it's a very sorrowful and harsh matter, as a very sad matter for this father. But this also a picture of this, of a person who, because of a fallen sin, had wanted to leave and go on his own way. This father agreed to this petition and split up his goods between the two sons, and very equally, because that there wouldn't be any conflict between the two sons. And so the young son left. And so it is. The kingdom of God, it is not mandatory to stay, and no one is forcing you to stay. But God, by his love, and wants to care for us who have received this portion of the child in this kingdom. But a man can reject this faith. But the Bible shows, and this text shows this, that God doesn't quit calling, even though a man wants to stray from him. But sin is what separates us from God. This younger son left to a far-off land, to the fleshpots of this world. He went to seek joy from the world. He loved the enjoyments of this world and his own goods before more than the love of the Father. But this text shows this. At the end, he noticed that this world was not able to give this which was he wanted. It's written here in the first letter of John in this way: "Do not love the world or love those things which are in the world. If someone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all this which is in the world, all the desires of the flesh and all this life of the world, it is all of the world and not of the Father. And the lust of the world perisheth, but those who do the will of God remains everlasting. This portion of the Bible is not doesn't mean this, nevertheless, that we should leave from people, but it warns us to not to attach our hearts to this life, way of life, which makes us stray from God. The deeds of the child of God is to love and to honor other people, but to avoid the values that are strange to the Heavenly Father. How did it go for this prodigal son? The text tells us that he left a riotous life. The old Bible said that he wasted his goods in the flesh pots. The enemy of the soul shows the flesh pots of this world and the sinful life as enticing possibilities. But as this text shows us, all were lies. Deeds of the enemy of the soul, John writes, he is far from the truth. It is strange to him. When he lies, he is a liar and the father of all lies. How many young people, this enticement in this time has taken along with them into the world. During recent times I have married youth of believing homes and united them in marriage. And I wonder what has taken them away from the Father's house, from this love and this warmth. In these situations, a prayer has arisen to the Heavenly Father that he would be able to enlighten this gift of faith as he did to this prodigal son, that he would guide them back into the Father's house. And in these services, there are certainly you older ones who have pain over these matters. You have wondered about this. How has the Christian rearing in the home gone? Or has the atmosphere in the home been, what has it been when the youth has chosen other than the kingdom of God? I believe that you have lost sleep and have prayed that this child could receive this gift of faith in the care of God's kingdom. Faith is a personal matter. And as we heard in the morning services, every one of us can rejoice of this, of our personal faith, and pray that God could enlighten this to our close ones. Faith is not an inheritance from one generation to the next, but it is a personal gift. Here at these services, or listening to this word elsewhere, such youth who are on the border of giving up their faith or have given up their faith. It is a truly joyful matter that you have wanted to come to the services of God's children and are being called back to this Father's house. You're not so far that you couldn't return. And with the Son of God, all is possible when you want to answer this call. Sin may appear very enticing, and it may offer freedom and joy, but these promises are lies. In the end, sin tears and leaves the heart empty, and it separates man from God. For this reason, the Bible warns us of sin. And so this prodigal son experienced, this text tells us, when his goods were all wasted, he became hungry. And he became a shepherd of pigs. He had gone so far down that he was so hungry that he would fair have eaten the husks of the swine. But even these weren't given to him. But how comforting this text is in this, that God's work began. God has not rejected his created man. This text, in a very teaching way, tells us the mind of this son. He remembered the love of his father's house. This believing home, the sowing, had carried fruit. And many times from the world, these moments at home are remembered, and the warmth and the love which has been shown to them. For this reason, it is very valuable that we would keep God, this word of God forward, that we would speak God's word in our homes. As rain and snow come from heaven, and it waters the earth, which brings forth fruit, and it and so the word which comes from my mouth, it will not return empty, but it will fulfill its duty which I have given, and will be successful in its duty which I have sent them to do. And so the word of God emboldens us to bring out these most important matters of faith, of life. But is it an easy way back to the Father's home? The enemy of souls does all he can that man would not return back. The enemy of souls does not have to tell many lies. It's enough to that one person, a man, would believe only one of them. It isn't a fitting time yet. You aren't acceptable anymore. Your sins are too great. What other things? What will others think? You will lose face. You will get by yourself. But all these lies changed at the door of the Father's house. Father did not ask where were you and what did you do? But took this lost child into his arms, embrace. The greatest barriers were the lies of the enemy of souls, which tried to prevent him from coming back into God's kingdom. This a prodigal son thought that I am not good enough. And the Bible says that take me as one of your servants. But the father did not take him as a servant and did not make him pay back. But he received the place of a child through grace. Give him an ear. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Oh, what a great and joyous matter it is when we can preach this gospel. And what a great celebration it is in the home then. This, the home of the prodigal son was this, that God had made him pause. And that the boy himself, the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to see his own situation. He didn't any longer defend himself or didn't blame the conditions around him, but acknowledged this, that Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And he received the grace of repentance. It is this remorse over sin and securing oneself in the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. John writes of this, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, that he forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. This repentance, it isn't born from the will of man or power or wisdom, but it is the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And God gives us remorse over sins, and but at the same time ignites this hope in the heart. It shows us this, that it, with the Father there is grace and forgiveness and an open door to the home. Then the Holy Spirit of God can affect the barriers which seemed to be so insurmountable are torn down. Unbelief and shame and fear and the lies of the enemy of the soul lose their power when that which is impossible for man, God can make possible. Jesus himself says in this way, no one can come unto me if the Father has not sent them. Returning home behind is the love of God and the power of God. It is also comforting to us that this way of salvation, this gift of faith, is not in our own power, but it is in his gracious calling. It is the work of God. It could be that in our lives we have such experiences that we haven't been able to see how miraculously God has guided people to his kingdom. Once I was discussing with a mother of a family and a child when they told how his spouse and her father was living the last moments of life and received the grace of repentance, how this serious illness had come to him, and he had become restless and hopeless. But then he had begun to listen to the radio, to some services, and I would think in this way, that the Heavenly Father had awakened his conscience. And 2 months before his death, he had, from a general preaching of the gospel in a sermon, he had received his sins forgiven. And how these near ones to him wondered that how he had received this peace unto his soul, and he had become a happy man. And they said with joy how such a great matter and a change had come into this man. And the services were on every day in that home. And there is hope of eternal life in this life. But then when they said, told of this joyfully, I thought that God had spoke to them and awakened them and prepared this matter and offered the gospel. They didn't go against this, but they said that it is not yet time. But I would think in this way, that this call, when the seed has been sown, and when we know, we don't know when God will awaken the heart of man. When is the fitting time? In the letter to the Hebrews, these words. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And Paul writes in the letter to the Corinthians, at the right time I have heard you. On this day of salvation I have brought you help. And now is the right time, just now. Just now is the day of salvation. And for this reason I want to approach you, dear listener of God's word, who consider these matters of faith, who long for a lasting foundation in your heart and peace and hope. Now is the correct time. You can lift up your heart to believe from this general sermon, all your sins and even unbelief forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. In the Father's home, there is always a warm welcome. It is a great joy in the midst of God's children when a person receives the grace of repentance. In this previous parable of this lost silver money, I say to you, rejoice of these angels of God also when one receives the grace of repentance. This text which we read does not end here, but it tells of the older son and the heart's condition. He had served in his father's home, and he had worked well and fulfilled his requirements. But this text shows that in his heart had become estranged. There's this kind of a picture that he had he became a servant who counted his work and awaited his reward, and did not understand what was in question when this son brother returned and the lost was found. And this is a reminder of this, that there's a danger here that the joy of faith will be lost. And when this Jesus shows this to the Pharisees and to the scribes, that sin can also be one's own self-righteousness and pride. They valued this, how Jesus, they were critical of how Jesus approached sinners. But when this father ran to this younger son, but he also came out to encourage this older son to come in. And he said to him, my son, you have always been with me, and all that I have is yours. This also tells of this, where sin is, has been, their love becomes cold. This taking care of this love in the midst of God's word, the word of God instructs us, and Jesus taught us, that all of you know me, my disciples, that you would love one another. And in this parable, we can see how two matters which can bring us, take us away from the Father's house. One goes through the world, and the other through one's own self-righteousness. But as we see in these services, and in earlier sermons has been taught, that our redemption, there is only one way, and it is prepared by the grace that is prepared by God. And for this reason, Jesus teaches us, I am the way, the truth, and the light, life. No one will reach the Father but through me. But the children of God, need power and encouragement in this endeavor of faith. Many times we can feel ourselves to be tired, and for this reason, it is a great gift of God that we can gather at the services of God's children. And this evening, we hear the call of Jesus, the encouragement of Jesus, come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you peace, rest. Put your burdens on me and look on me. I am gentle of heart and humble, and your souls will receive rest, and my yoke is light. And for this reason, you dear child of our listener, in life situation where it is right now, perhaps your journey you have tired under the worries of life, and they may press on one's heart, and there could be temptations and doubts. And for you, this grace of God belongs to you. You can, at this moment, believe in your own hearts this gospel, the joyous message of this gospel. You can believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, unto peace, freedom, and joy. this gospel is the power of God, which strengthens us on this journey in this life. We have come to the services of God's kingdom, and this that this bird has found its nest is from the psalm, from the 24th psalm. And this text of this psalm shows the joy in of this and happiness. Happy are they that have received this power from me, which they from their and so we have been able to at these services experience that through the word of God we have been through the word of God we have our faith has become strengthened and tempted. I have come before you and I ask, can I believe all my sins and temptations forgiven? And so I want to believe together with you. And you can also, dear youth and children, you can believe this gospel in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. All your sins are forgiven. And so we can remain in the blessed protection of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.